Good morning, everyone. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful rendition, that call to worship. And let us all join together in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for bringing us together on such a great and glorious day. We celebrate the birth of our nation, Lord, our independence. And we celebrate our love for you, Lord. Keep us always faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we are. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And for those of you who are not familiar with that saying, those final few words were, and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. My name is Ron Coleman, your liturgist for this morning. And I just want to share a couple of words from a hymn in our hymnal. It's called Blessed Assurance. Some of you have probably heard of Fanny Crosby. She's a prolific hymn writer and missionary. Those words, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The assurance that Jesus is ours is everlasting. You got to know that. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, it continues. Oh, what a foretaste. We're getting a preview, a sample of what is yet to come. Amen. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. We are his heirs. He has saved us. We've been purchased by God. And we are born of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and washed in his blood. Amen? So again, I'd like to welcome all of you, and I'd like to especially welcome our pastor, Reverend Esther Robinson. Here she is. Amen. We're glad that Pastor Robinson, Pastor Esther, is joining us, and we're going to have a welcome reception just after this worship service in the fellowship hall. So please join us, one and all, so you can get to meet and greet our new pastor. A couple of announcements. Vacation Bible School is this week, starts tomorrow, as a matter of fact. All those who are volunteering or assisting with Vacation Bible School, raise your hands, please. All right, that's a good little crowd. We're appreciative of your help, your support, your assistance with Vacation Bible School. And we're looking for even more children to come out. We have some pre-registration, and registration will begin at 9 a.m. tomorrow. VBS runs through the 7th through the 11th from 9 a.m. to noon. Other announcements can be found on the reverse side of your bulletins. You can find them here. And there might be a couple others that aren't listed or that I didn't mention. Any others? If not, yes, sorry. Oh, okay.
Friday night dinner is July 18th, sponsored by the choir. So please come out, get your tickets starting next week. It's $10 a person, $25 for a family. And we're going to have pulled pork. So.
Amen. Pulled pork on July 18th, starting at 6:30 p.m. That's our Friday night dinner coming up. So plan on that. Any others? If not, then we'll go with our children's moment. Betty? All right. Betty, you probably don't need this mic, do you?
No, I don't need that.
I didn't think so.
Makes us too tired to help out a friend. And your friend says, hey, buddy, I forgot even at school, and I don't.
One thing that I forgot to mention during the announcements was in your pews, in the back of your pews, you'll see prayer requests and praise reports. So don't forget to fill those out if you have either. And also your salty servant cards. If you have performed a salty service this week, please place these in the offering plate as well. And if you're a first-time guest or a returning guest from a long time ago, let our ushers know they have a gift for you. Thank you.
And now if you'd stand and turn to page 696... we'll sing America the Beautiful.
It's now time for us to give our gifts to God. If the ushers would please come forward.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I've worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to L.A. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. I gladly stand up next to you and defend us still today, 'cause there ain't
Thank you for helping us out.
Thank you so much. Andy and choir, thank you so much. It's like echo, huh? It's a 4-second delay, okay. Thank you so much for that beautiful rendition. Much appreciated. And thank you for joining in on this celebration of Independence Day, on this celebration of Christ dying for us. Each and every Sunday is a celebration of that, absolutely. Amen, amen. So it's time now for our prayer requests and praise reports. So if any of you have some that you'd like to start with, anyone? Marlene? Okay. Rhonda's home from surgery. Continue to lift her up in prayer. Bill? Shoes. Amen. And that little redhead that Bill is referring to is his mother-in-law, Nancy's mom. Yeah. Any others?
Yeah, Ron, I'd like to mention again, Peggy and I will have been married 54 years come Wednesday.
Amen. 54. Wonderful. I am not. And has a praise report that I will keep to myself. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 40 years today. Congratulations. Fantastic. We wish you 40 more. Annette? Amen. Amen. That's a huge praise. And continue to pray as well. Her name is Pat, is it? Pat, yeah. Mark? Your Aunt Joy is home. Amen. That is good news. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So Mark's going to need travel mercies for a golf tournament travel. And you were in a tournament here recently, weren't you, Mark? Weren't you in a tournament here recently, Mark? Mark, were you in a tournament recently? You're welcome. Amen. And that's what I was trying to get out of. Mark won first place in a golf tournament very recently, which qualified him to travel to Daytona for the state competition. Amen. All right. Any others? Praise or prayer? George?
Most of you know that I wasn't here last Sunday because I was traveling up north, and God has blessed us to have an opportunity to have our grandchildren for a couple of weeks, so that's a real blessing, and
amen.
Praise Him for that.
Amen. All right. Always a blessing to have the grands around. Can I get an amen on the grands?
Amen.
All right. Johnny? Amen. Amen. Lift up Johnny's family. Amen. Bob, you have, did you? No? Was there another? Okay. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. That's a huge praise. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you much. And, prayer requests for VBS. It starts tomorrow, 9 to 12. And bring yourselves, bring your children. We still need volunteers, so don't. We talked about that last week. All right. Any others? If not, then please join me in prayer. Father God, here we are, Lord, at your mercy. It's all because of you, Lord, that we live. And because you died on the cross, Jesus, we live. We live free from sin, if that's the way we choose to live, because you have made it possible for that to happen, Lord. You have given us that opportunity to live free from sin by dying on the cross for our grace and our salvation. And Father, we lift up each and every prayer request that was uttered here this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us in so many wonderful ways, Lord. Those that have lifted up a prayer request, Lord, you know what those needs are. And those that were left unspoken, Father God, you and you alone know the depth, the immensity, the need for blessings, for prayer. And Father God, as we continue to go forth each and every day of our lives, we ask for increase and decrease, Lord, that you would always increase our faith. Increase those things in us that bring us closer to you, Father God. And decrease, Lord, those things that keep us away from you. We acknowledge you, Father, as our one and only Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us close to you. Keep us close to you, Lord. Always embracing you. Always facing you. Always knowing that you are near at all times. Because we know, God, that you are good. God is good. Yes, he is. And you're good all the time. Even when we fall short of your glory, Lord, we confess that sometimes we do. And we acknowledge, Lord, that as we fall short, we simply have to look toward the hills from whence cometh our help. And call your name, Lord. Jesus, call your name. We know that you will be there to help us. Oh, yes, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory, Lord. And Lord, when we come before your altar, when we come together in worship, we pray that you will cleanse our hearts, soothe our souls, open our minds to hear your word, Lord. And Lord, as we worship here together today, oh Lord, we give you special thanks for Pastor Esther Robinson, Lord. She's come to join us, Lord, and we're thankful that you have sent your humble servant to serve in such a way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We ask your blessings too, Lord, upon those who lead us in whatever capacity it is. Our government leaders, our church leaders, and especially those who know you well, and those who would like to know you, Lord, and those who have yet to come to know you. Help us to bring them to know you, Lord, each and every one of us individually and collectively. Help us to do that, Lord. We lift up our vacation Bible school this week. Pray for the children and for the volunteers. And then finally, Lord, we give honor to, and we ask you to bless those men and women who serve in the armed forces of our United States of America. Bless them for all that they do in protection of our freedom. And Father God, as we walk the path that you would have us to walk, keep us focused on you, Lord, and keep us ever mindful of the prayer that you taught your disciples, as together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our word this morning, our message this morning, is coming from one of our lay servants, lay speakers, we call them sometimes, lay servants. And he is one of the, probably the longest serving lay servant in our church, I imagine. So welcome, Gene Clark.
I'm not quite sure about that. I do know that one of our church members introduced me to, at that time, the lay speaker. And since then, we've changed our names to lay servants. But Mary Stowers is the one who introduced me to the first group that I attended way back in, I think, 1984. And I don't know whether that's the oldest one or the one that's been around the longest or not, but it is indeed a pleasure to have an opportunity to serve our church and serve God in this capacity. And I did take a slight recess, I'll say, last year. I asked Pastor Rick to not put me on the rotation, as he needed people and wanted people to speak due to the little bit of health problems that I had last year. So before he left the 1st of June, I said, well, I think I'm ready to get back on the list. So he jotted me down, and it's really a pleasure to have the privilege of speaking today, the first Sunday for our new pastor. And I really, really am thankful that I'm able to do so. If you are, I think you got our scripture. You have our scripture up there, Bob? It's coming from Romans, verse 15 through 25. It says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my utmost self. But I see in my members, among law at war with the law of my mind, making me capture to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the holy, from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Peggy told me earlier that during the first service I got a little dry mouth, so it'll probably happen again because it's been a while since I've done this. So if I get a lick in my lips, I have some water, so if I get a drink every now and then, I hope y'all understand. Before beginning the message today, I think it's only appropriate to comment on the 4th of July, our Independence Day celebration. How many of us have given much thought to our celebration and what it's all about? Some of us probably think it's just another holiday, which we have quite a few of during the year, which we celebrate. The word independence means freedom from control or influence by another in our affairs. And no doubt in our celebration there were many cookouts, lots of picnics, visitation with our families, traveling to see our relatives, and just vacationing. And of course, we can't forget the fabulous fireworks that we have around town and also those that we now have available to us on television. I watched the ones from Macy's in New York, and it was certainly a very spectacular show that they put on. Isn't it great to be a nation with independence? We are so blessed because there are many nations in the world that have governments that will not allow personal individual freedom. We should never forget the veterans who fought for that freedom. Some are here probably with us today. We remember the many who gave their lives while fighting for that freedom. And last but not least, we thank the military personnel who are serving today to ensure we do not lose our freedom. And at this time, if there are any in the congregation who are veterans that have served during World War I or World War II, Vietnam War, any of our veterans, would they please stand up and be recognized? Thank you. As a Christian, we should never forget our independence by celebrating our dependence on God. Let me put that just a little bit differently. As we go forward in our daily living, we should never forget to declare our dependence upon God, our Heavenly Father, thanking Him for His blessings upon our nation and upon our individual lives. A little background on the book of Romans before we get into the text. Paul wrote his letter to the Christians in Rome in late 57 or early 58 A.D. He was in Corinth at this time of his writing, where he was waiting for the spring shipping season so he could return to Jerusalem. This is after he had completed all three of his journeys, as we normally refer to Paul, and before he was taken captive in Jerusalem and sent to Rome. Today we'll be looking at one part of the message he had for the Christians in Rome, and that is understanding God's forgiveness. In chapter 7, Paul addresses the issue of why Christians struggle with sin. They want to do what their heart tells them to do, but often do things they should not do. The Christians in Rome were sincere in understanding the law and how they should be living their daily lives. They wanted to do what they knew was right and not to do the things they knew were wrong. And in our scripture, Paul seems to be doing a lot of double talking and not making much sense of anything. However, in looking more closely, Paul's words describe the actual life of a day-to-day Christian. There are times when we all struggle to do the right thing, and sometimes we do the wrong thing. That is what Paul was talking about here. He wants to do what was right, yet somehow he could never get it quite right. The last thing he wanted to do was the wrong thing, yet somehow he did it. Paul was frustrated with his ability to see what was good and the ability to recognize what was wrong and the inability to refrain from doing it. Have you ever said to yourself, or perhaps to someone else, I don't know why I did that. I should have known better. Then we say to ourselves, I could kick myself for doing that. Or I had it coming. I should have known better. And George was playing earlier during the offertory, or during the offering, Onward Christian Soldiers. And to show you how God worked, I have this in my sermon or message, and it was rather ironic to me personally that he happened to choose that particular song. It says, when we sing the song, Onward Christian Soldiers Going Off to War, we are really describing a very short march. For the Christian, the war is never far away. It is waged within us, and we ourselves are the battlefield. Our sinful nature is always at war within us. The Holy Spirit gives us faith to meet our sins head on. We are both sinners and saints at the same time. People want to do good, but don't. People want to avoid evil, but can't. As the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, it is the battle that rages inside all God-fearing people. We want to be perfect, but we can't. None of us can. The good news is that there's one person who lived 2,000 years ago who did live a perfect life, a person who did good and never sinned. This person is Jesus, the Anointed One of God, God in the flesh. Jesus is the only perfect human being who ever lived. Perhaps it is not so difficult to consider that God is willing to forgive us the first time we sin. But what about after we continue to repeat our sins? We repent and promise never to repeat our offenses again. Perhaps it's just a little lie, a lustful look, or a purchase we know that we can't afford. But instead of learning by our mistakes, we go and do them over again, again, and again. Will God forgive us after so many repeated offenses? That's a good question. It's the very same question that the Apostle Paul wrestled with when he wrote the words of the text today. As we listen for God's answer to this question, we are brought to this point, which is the title of my sermon, Understanding God's Forgiveness. In order to understand God's forgiveness, the Holy Spirit leads us in three ways. First, to understand our needs. Second, to understand ourselves. And third, to understand our Savior as we meditate in the Scriptures. Paul, in a tongue-twisting array of words, lays out his dismay as he looks at his life as a Christian. He is concerned that sin, which remained in him He is concerned that sin remained in him is strong enough to pull him in the wrong direction. He says that a war rages within him between the law of sin and the law of his mind. The evil that lived in him was what was left of what he had absorbed from Satan's world before his conversion on the road to Damascus. The law of his mind was the new heart received from Jesus Christ. He acknowledges that daily he had the opportunity to do good in the eyes of God. Paul writes, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Paul is confessing here that many times he is confronted with circumstances where he knows exactly what the right thing to do, but then he does something different than what he really wants to do. And in verse 18, he says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." As you can see from our scripture, it's a little, I won't say double talking, but a lot of array of words that was hard to understand, perhaps to understand in the way in which he put it there. And you can see the way in which he was wrestling with what was going on in his life as a Christian, and the fact that he did not always do the things that he knew that he should do as a Christian. Since it is his sin that is causing him all these problems, even as a Christian, then he also follows that Paul is in need of forgiveness. Sin is first and foremost a crime against God. Then it only follows that Paul is in desperate need of forgiveness that only God can give. And who of us are any different? We must admit that we are daily guilty of sin, even when we know better, even when we want to do better. As Christians, we are still sinners. We are still in need of forgiveness that only God can give us. As we grow to understand our ongoing needs for God's forgiveness, we will also grow in our understanding of who we are as Christians. Paul doesn't go light on sin by describing the dual nature of a Christian. Christians hate sin. But at the same time, it should not be a surprise when we do sin. He notices that sin still manifests itself in his thoughts, in his words, and his actions. These two natures are in constant conflict with one another. Neither wants the other to survive. It's a fight to the finish for control of our souls. And as long as we're alive, that fight must continue. If we're no longer bothered by the fact that we continue to sin, then we will know that our sinful nature has won out. But as long as the battle continues and the Spirit of God is at war within us, we can rest assured that God's forgiveness is our own. And how can we be sure? We can be sure that God continues to forgive us as we grow in understanding our Savior, Jesus Christ. Earlier in Romans, Paul wrote, "The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through their redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Even though we sin every day, God looks at us and sees Jesus' perfection. This is the reason why Paul writes, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we examine our lives and see that we don't do the good that we want to do, when we examine our lives and see evil, though it is not what we want, when we examine our lives and see our failure, the Holy Spirit calls us to examine the life and death of Jesus Christ. For with his life and death, he offers forgiveness for our sins. In closing, a little story about a dream that Martin Luther had with himself being attacked by Satan. The devil unrolled a long scroll of his sins and displayed it before him. After he displayed his first scroll, he was asked, "Is that all?" And he said, "No." Then he came forward with a second scroll. And after the second scroll, he had a third scroll. So Martin Luther had a lot of sins. And then after he had finished with him, he said, "Do you have any more?" And the devil said, "No, that's all." And then Martin Luther triumphantly exclaimed, "You've forgotten something. Quickly, write on each of them, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sins." So when we're troubled by the question, "Does God forgive me when I keep on sinning?" understand this about God's forgiveness. We sin daily and are in need of His forgiveness. He offers it to us to strengthen us in the war that is being waged against Satan, who tries to control our soul. The good thing is that He gives it to us without any strings, because our Savior has done it for us. Thanks be to God, He does forgive us in order to rescue us from Satan and in order that we might live with Him eternally. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to meet you and be with you today in this service of worship. I want to thank everyone for the wonderful welcome that I've received, particularly Ron, who has organized all the different activities and helping me unpack, helping me watch the dogs, everything that I needed with food. And I want to thank Sue also. She got some ladies together and helped me unpack some kitchen dishes. And I couldn't feel more welcomed. And I thank you for that. I appreciate that. It was also a gift to me today to not preach for you, but to be in worship with you and to experience worship with you before I bring you my first sermon next week. So I thank you for that gift too. That was a lovely way to have me come be among you, and I appreciate that very much. And let's turn now in your hymn books to the service of Word and Table on page 9. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing of the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing of the blood of Christ. And I like to say before we take communion that this is not a Methodist table. It's not my table. It's the Lord's table. And God offers us his good gifts to all. All of us are invited. You do not have to be a member of this congregation or of any congregation, but simply seek to have God's grace and forgiveness alive in your hearts and in your minds. And so we invite you. The ushers will lead you forward. The choir will come first. And we will partake together of the Lord's table. Will you come?
Thank you.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for
us have on red or red and white name tags. Some of us don't. So on your way to the fellowship hall, for the benefit of Pastor Esther, please name tags, which is right there. The ushers will have them for you. Put your name on it. It's adhesive. It won't ruin your clothes, I promise.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you, now and always. Go.